Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast about children's development from the Center for Inclusive Childcare.
Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast from the Center for Inclusive Childcare. I'm Priscilla Weigel, the Executive Director, and I'm so grateful to be joined today by a friend, colleague, partner in the work, Michelle Fallon, who has been with us in the past and talked with us on numerous occasions, sharing her expertise related to infant and early childhood mental health and early childhood development. She's a mentor, she's a consultant. And I'm excited to talk with you today, Michelle, about toddlers.
Well, it's one of my favorite subjects in the whole world. It's my favorite age group. That said, I have undying admiration for toddler teachers.
Yes.
And parents of toddlers, because it's an intense period of development for many reasons.
It really is. And, you know, we talk about the fact that 80% of a child's brain develops by the age of three. So toddlerhood is this maximizing time. And I think when you think about some of those characteristics that we need to be aware of, there's a lot of factors at play. And we were just chatting about it before we hopped on to record. But do you want to just jump in and share some of those factors?
Sure. Well, for our purposes today, let's think of toddlers as children that are between one and three. And I think one of the things that can be confusing about toddlers is there is a wide range of typical development. And, you know, the children who are chatty from the beginning, or the children who are quieter but very engrossed in fine motor kind of exploration, or very big motor toddlers. And so development doesn't happen evenly and gradually. It seems to happen in spurts and differently for different children. And I think it can be a really intense time for parents who have mastered the baby thing. And then all of a sudden this little person is saying, I just figured out that my mind is different than your mind.
Yes.
And so I don't necessarily want to do what you want me to do. And it can be really confusing. So I think when we're working with parents and toddlers, we need to be really tuned in to both the parent and the toddler. And particularly from a developmental standpoint, if we have a parent who's highly anxious because their toddler may be not talking yet. We have to balance that. Well, my expertise as an early childhood specialist tells me that this is still within normal limits, but let's say the parent is highly anxious and worried about it.
Right.
Or let's say the toddler's language is a little bit delayed, but this toddler is like a, you know, easygoing person and, you know, I'm not terribly frustrated, as opposed to another toddler whose language is a bit delayed and they are really frustrated and it's interfering with their ability to socialize because they're so frustrated.
Right. And that's when we can see some of those behaviors that can be frustrating to someone spending time with toddlers, like biting. And biting often is out of frustration because of that communication piece and using that as a tool. So yeah, I appreciate that you said that, Michelle. And I think that as early childhood professionals, those of you in the listening audience who are spending time with young children, we really have a duty to walk alongside families and help them be aware of what you're just bringing up, that there's a range, that every child doesn't hit that magical number and poof, that whole checklist, all those boxes get ticked off. That's not how it works. And so we can lessen a lot of that anxiousness. And I loved what you said about just mastering the baby phase. And then here we come. Oh, guess what? Everything's changing. And that's constant in the life of a child. But I think it's particularly challenging because they're moving from this person that you can hold and control and take care of. And then, oops, as you said, my mind's different than your mind. My body can go places. Wow. I can reach stuff. Oh my goodness. All of those things. Yeah.
Right. And I think, you know, there are several really big accomplishments in toddlerhood. One is learning to talk and communicate. And I don't want to just focus on speech, because toddlers are communicating well before they have words, with gestures, right, and so on. And that's really important to acknowledge. But it can be an expression of, you know, no. How many toddlers, that's one of the first top five words that they learn is no.
Right.
And that can be, depending on how I feel as a parent, that can be a bit of a shock. The other thing is locomotion, you know, that they suddenly can walk and run and move and climb and have relatively poor judgment about safety.
Yes.
And so suddenly there are all these new safety concerns, and that creates increased conflict between
yes.
caregivers and toddlers in terms of keeping them safe. And you don't have a lot of conflicts with a baby. So it's a big adjustment. I remember when my oldest child was a toddler, I was shocked that I could actually become that frustrated.
Yeah.
I mean, my sweet baby, and I was upset with him. And that was a shock to me. Didn't know mm-hmm. I had it in me. Duh. I mean, now I can't back. But it's those, you know, all of a sudden there's reason to have conflict because of locomotion
yes.
and talking.
Yes, definitely.
And right alongside of that is the fact that toddlers they're so challenged in terms of their ability to regulate all those big feelings that come
yes.
up. Oh. And they so need us to be their regulating partner.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be confusing. So there's a lot going on for parents
it
and
is.
Kids negotiating all of those big changes.
That's for sure. And I'm glad you brought up the emotion piece, because I do think sometimes, especially if a child is more verbal and maybe communicating in a lot of ways, but still hasn't mastered the emotional regulation of their being, because they're not supposed to yet. But we tend to, because they're this verbal little person and they can have a great conversation with us and make us laugh and all of that, that we just make the next leap to think, well, of course they can manage all of those big emotions. And why are they having a complete meltdown on the floor when I said no to them about taking this thing off the shelf that isn't safe? I should be able to negotiate, and I should be able to talk them through it. And that's just adding to our frustration as adults, I think, to make those assumptions when toddlers just can't do that yet.
Right. And I think it's a real peak period of that I know he knows better phenomenon.
Oh, yes.
Do we bite our friends? No, no bite. No, no. And then someone takes that book out of her hands and the train leaves the station and chomp. Right.
Right.
And I think the biting toddler is often as shocked and surprised as the toddler who's bitten. But from a brain development perspective, I just went, that stress level just went way up when someone threatened my toy. And I don't have access to my prefrontal cortex like I do sometimes. And I bite. And
yeah.
So it's confusing for the toddler as much as it is confusing for the caregiver, I think. But that I know she knows better, I think, mm-hmm. is one of the frustrating parts of caring for toddlers. Because she does when she's calm, just like
right.
I don't say stupid things when I'm well rested and regulated, but I can really put my foot in my mouth when I'm not.
Well, and I think too, in our work, Michelle, you know, we run into situations where a toddler may be biting and may have that as a pattern that they've developed, because I mean, you get really quick results when you bite.
Mm-hmm.
If someone's holding something you want, they usually drop it, or they scream and cry, and so there's this instant response. But that can be the perfect time when we, as the adult in that child's life, can help support them so that they can be successful with that frustration and not think, oh, it's just as you said, they know better or they shouldn't be doing that. We talked about this. They've been so good. They haven't taken a chomp out of anyone for months. And then all of a sudden, there it goes mm-hmm. again. It's not grounds for expulsion. It's just grounds for us to be reminded, oh, yep, they're still a toddler. And we still need to walk alongside. We still need to support them with these transitions, with the frustration, giving those labels for those big emotions and being that regulatory partner, as you said. Yeah,
absolutely. I think the word scaffolding comes to mind, that I can't think of an age group that needs more scaffolding. In other words, you know, things are going well and you step back because you want them to explore and have their, you know, learning to socialize, but you have to be prepared to move in really quickly when things begin to fall apart, which they so often do. So it's, you know, I think free play is, there's nothing free about free play in a toddler room.
That's true. I was just picturing, as you were talking about that, I had this vision in my mind of a toddler space where, or even in your home and you have a toddler and all of a sudden you go, wait a second, it's way too quiet. Where are they? What are they doing? Where, you know, you cannot lose sight of them for a moment because they are at that very curious and inquisitive stage, but also they don't have a lot of common sense and safety. And one of the other things too, that I think is, it can be a scary time for a toddler because there are such big sweeps in their emotions.
Right. And sometimes the source of their dysregulation is internal. I think one of the things toddlers are trying to figure out is, what do I need to do to stay in your good graces and get my own way?
Yeah.
I mean, for real. And toddlers don't have, I mean, from a brain development perspective, they don't have the ability to take somebody else's perspective. It's all about me.
Yes.
And what are those toddler rules of possession?
Yes. The job description of a toddler is another one that's out there too. If I saw it 2 minutes ago and I touched it, it's mine. If I have one like it at home, it's mine. It's right. Just, yeah.
If I even thought about touching it, it's mine.
It's mine. Right. And that goes back to that group of toddlers where you think, whoa, that's a lot to manage.
Right. And that's again where the scaffolding comes in. So back to my undying admiration for toddler teachers and parents of toddlers. It's exhausting. And it's hilarious and joyful and, you know, all of those things. I think the other thing that can be challenging is that, you know, there's that need for a co-regulating partner, that I can't always control my emotions. They're big. But they're kind of all or nothing thinkers. Like, you are either all for me, you are the mommy that I love, or you are against me and I don't like you anymore. And you can switch on a dime, because that's a brain development phenomenon, that black and white, all or nothing. Which again, I mean, imagine living in that. It's hard work to be a toddler.
It is hard work to be a toddler and to be, as you said, the parent too, to the caregiver. If you're not reminding yourself daily that that's where that child's brain is, it can be on those days when you're feeling kind of low and someone says, I don't like you anymore. And they're the most precious person in the world to you. That makes you kind of sad.
Right.
And so you're on a roller coaster ride right along with them some of those days.
And I think, you know, too, it depends as parents and caregivers on our own life experience. If I feel if I haven't had secure or, you know, relationships I could count on enough of the time during my life, or if I don't feel respected as a person, when my precious baby turns to me and says no, It can feel like all that other disrespect I've experienced. When my toddler turns and runs from me, it can feel like a rejection. And so we have to work to keep that perspective of, this isn't about me. This is the toddler doing their developmental tasks.
Yeah.
But It can be a very difficult transition for many of us, going from infancy to toddlerhood. And we can kind of, you know, on the one hand, we celebrate their accomplishments, but we can kind of grieve that that cuddly little baby that we had. So we have to find new ways to be close.
We do. And Michelle, you're always so great at helping us all remember how connected we need to be and how supportive and in partnership with families when we're caring for their children. And so what are some things that you can, and I'm kind of throwing you a curveball here, but I think you can catch it well. What are some things you can support when we think about our listeners and they're dealing with this stage and the families in this stage? How can we help families navigate that challenge of the things that are maybe causing them to feel some of those deep feelings that they have that occurred in their own childhood? I mean, that's really a hard place to be for someone as the caregiver of the child, trying to understand. I mean, that's a really tough spot.
It is a tough spot. I remember a mom in a childcare that I did consultation with who would come and pick up her little guy, and he would be tired. It's, you know, 4:30, 5 o'clock, and she's tired. She's been working all day, and he would reach to be picked up, and she'd say, "No, you're a big boy. You can walk." And he would just melt down, and the more whiny and clingy he got, the more determined she got to not. And I think, you know, this lovely toddler teacher said, "Oh, he's been waiting for you all afternoon. He's so excited to see you." And kind of reframe for that parent the meaning of that need to be held. It's not because he can't do it. It's because he's just so glad to see you. He's been missing you all day.
Really,
I think it made a difference for that parent, having the reframe without criticism, without going into like teaching mode. Well, it's perfectly normal. I mean, there's a place for that, but I think to just sort of be the voice for the toddler to the parent can be useful. But also, I think to sympathize with the parent, it's really hard work being the parent of a toddler, or, you know, that was your cuddly little baby, and now he's kind of getting a mind of his own. Or I often tell the story about my own toddler having a meltdown in the middle of Target. I mean, massive meltdown. And just that sort of shame that, you know, that you're embarrassed, it's all in public. And it was my daughter, and this woman walked by me and she touched me on the shoulder and she said, "It's really hard raising strong women, isn't it?" And I just got tears in my eyes. You know, she didn't criticize me, but she also made me think, this little girl's going to have, she's going to be able to say no when she needs to.
But
it's those kinds of reframes that are, I think, really helpful.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I do think that that's just a really helpful reminder for our listeners to be aware of the fact that we need to sometimes, and very often, we need to be the perspective holder for that child, especially after a long day for that parent when they're coming to pick up, but also be that supporter of the parent who we know they're just doing the best that they can with what they know and what they're given, and our subtle and supportive little helpful side comments should not be in a shaming based way. It should always be something that kind of says, I'm here with you. I get it. It's hard. Like that woman's comment at Target, you know, and because those moments are really mortifying as a parent, because you think everyone's thinking I'm a terrible parent, and no one in that space knows exactly what happened to lead up to that moment. But the judging looks can be really hard to take. So that's a great story. So Michelle, as we think about closing out this conversation about toddlers, which we could go on probably much longer, you know, thinking about them in the stage that they are, and just there's a lot we touched on a little bit about, you know, the two perspectives and the ability to not think of anyone other than their own self and what it's like to be them. Any other things that you want to highlight before we wrap things up?
Well, I think it's important to acknowledge culture here too, because toddlerhood, you know, they're part of their major developmental agenda is moving towards autonomy and I'm a separate person. But culturally, there are big differences. I mean, that there are cultures where I continue to feed my child well until their preschool years, as opposed to those of most of us in kind of European Western culture make a big deal about independent, you know, being able to do things for themselves. And so particularly in early care and education settings, when we're caring for a variety of children, to acknowledge that those there are a lot of cultural values around independence and dependence, and to be mindful of that. And then the other thing is, I love that Circle of Security parenting program, and the 25 words you need to be a good parent, I think, are so right on for toddlers. It's be bigger, stronger, wiser, and kind. Follow the child's need, not the lead, the need when possible, and take charge when necessary. Oh. It's too hard. You're having a hard time. It's too hard for you to do this by yourself right now, so I'm going to help you. And, you know, the child is upset, but that bigger, stronger, wiser, and kind is
wonderful.
Really, I think, can get us a long way into toddlerhood.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Yeah, that's a great way to wrap things up, I think, just really, truly. And I would recommend any opportunities that you have out there, listeners, to learn more about the Circle of Security and those 25 words. And also just on our website, we have a lot of resources related to infant and toddler development. And our partner organization, MACMA, the Minnesota Association for Children's Mental Health, their infant and early childhood division, has a lot of resources and tools. There's a lot of support out there for this stage of development to create success for these little toddlers as they navigate this roller coaster ride of life. Thanks, Michelle Fallon, for being with me and having this conversation.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you, Priscilla.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you want more, go to inclusivechildcare.org and check out our resources and tools. Thanks, and have a great day.
Thanks for listening. For more resources, visit us at inclusivechildcare.org.